Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, that's amren.com, A-M-R-E-N.com, and author of Paid with Good Intentions, The Failure of Race Relations in Contemporary America, is with me now. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Good to have you back on the program. I understand that your free speech has been attacked, and this is very concerning, but take us back to what happened here as American Renaissance was trying to have its biennial conference in Virginia. Basically, your conference in February was brought to a halt, right?
That's exactly right. We've been holding conferences on somewhat controversial subjects having to do with race and immigration ever since 1994. Every 2 years, we hold a conference. And we've had occasional crank calls and a few demonstrators outside of hotels. But this time, for the first time, hotels came under such pressure from opponents of free speech that they canceled contracts with us. We went through no fewer than 4 different hotels here in the Northern Virginia area, and they would come under tremendous floods of phone calls saying, don't host these, and they would call us racists and Nazis and white supremacists. And one after another, they pulled the plug because they feared for the safety of their employees. One hotel got definite death threats. Somebody called and told people, if you hold this conference, I will go in there and shoot you. And so, essentially, our conference had to be scrubbed. We couldn't find a hotel that would host us in the face of these kinds of tremendous threats.
Well, there's a couple of problems here. Number one, if there's death threats, certainly you've got to have the police involved. Did the hotel management call the police?
Yes, they did, but the police can't really do very much about the local police in any way, can't do much about death threats, especially if they might come from out of state. Another thing that people did, they would trespass on the hotel properties, and they would shove inflammatory flyers about our group under guest room doors. This is the kind of thing management of a hotel just can't stand. But we are trying to get the FBI interested in this, and we will see what if they decide to launch an investigation. But I can assure you that if any other controversial group, particularly, say, a group like the NAACP or National Council of Warasa, was chased from one hotel to the next, it would be an absolute national uproar. But we are people who are, you could describe us as racial dissidents in a way. We think that diversity is a weakness, not a strength. We think that as the United States becomes increasingly multiracial, multilingual, multireligious, it's not a good thing for the country. But this is, as you probably know, outright heresy in the United States today. So people don't much seem to care if our rights are violated.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, for years people have sharply disagreed with some of your stance and your writings and so forth. And we've talked in the past about some of the more controversial issues, and people have a right to disagree, but preventing you from having a conference, this is just asinine. And I'm sure that probably one of these hotels is where you'd held a conference before. Am I correct?
Actually, we had never had a conference in any of these hotels.
Oh, okay.
There was a conference that we went 3 times in a row back when the left was behaving more or less in a civil way. But after having us 3 times, on the 3rd time, they had another one of these trespass and leaflet incidents. They got threats, not necessarily of death, but of aggressive demonstrations. And so they told us not to come back. That's another way to cramp our style. Even if they don't force a hotel to cancel, they make it so unpleasant for the hotel to do business with us that they tell us don't come back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if hotels refused, well, like you said, NAACP, or, you know, if Jeremiah Wright and his crowd was having a convention somewhere and they refused them based upon the same types of concerns, I think that would make national news. I think the hotel would come over a lot of scrutiny and so forth. But you know, in some ways, you can't blame the hotel management, because apparently these groups that didn't want you there, they were finding the home phone numbers of hotel employees and threatening them.
That's exactly right. No, at some level, once the threats reach a certain crescendo, it's hard to blame the hotel owners. If there have been death threats, and I think they were empty threats, but if it turned out that a hotel got death threats, if you hold a conference, they hold it anyway, and then somebody got hurt, boy, the liability on that would be extraordinary.
Yeah.
So the problem here is with these various anti-free speech groups who are really interfering with the hotel's right to do business.
Yeah.
And some of them have web pages that were very explicit about it. When they would first contact the hotels, and the hotels would say, well, no, these guys are a legal, non-profit, 501c3 organization. We see no reason not to do business with them. And then they would put up on their webpage, okay, no more Mr. Nice Guy. If these guys are going to accommodate these racists, we certainly won't. We will shut them down. It's as clear as that. Their intent is not simply to say we disagree with these guys. Their intent is to say make it impossible for them to hold a conference. And that's outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems like somebody should have stepped in and come to your aid. And I mean, did this have any local coverage whatsoever in the news there in Northern Virginia?
None. And to my amazement, I mean, this is even more disappointing in some ways than the behavior of our opponents, is we put out press releases, we put out notices to talk shows. We got practically zero response on this. I think this is a very serious business. If, for example, the PETA people, the animal rights people, if they put this kind of pressure on hotels, meat packers might not be able to meet. Or people could really put pressure on hotels to stop a lumbering group, you know, these tree hugger types.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a terrible precedent, but nobody seems to be willing to see it in those terms.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because people don't want to look like they're coming to the defense of what you've been labeled as, and that's, you know, you've been labeled as racist and so forth.
Yeah.
Respond to that when you're labeled, your organization, your conference is labeled as racist.
Well, the witty way to respond is that people call you racist when you're winning an argument with a leftist. A racist is just a form of name-calling, really, and name-calling is what people do when they're losing the argument. But what we talk about, I think one of the reasons we've had so much opposition is that more and more people recognize that it's true that multiracialism doesn't work very well. We're all supposed to be chanting in unison that diversity is a great strength, and yet we have lots of self-segregation along the lines of race. People tend to have a racial loyalty, and as the country becomes increasingly Spanish-speaking, there are divisions along linguistic lines. When you have a black candidate for president who gets 95% of the black vote, that shows a kind of racial loyalty that will not go away. And our argument is that over the years, all of this third world immigration to the United States is making the country increasingly divided and ungovernable. Well, that's a very unfashionable thing to say, but it's something that is certainly protected by free speech rights.
Yeah. When you talk about racial groups assembling together, get specific on that. What do you mean?
Well, for example, we have the Black Congressional Caucus. Its purpose is to look at legislation from one point of view only. What's in it for black people? There's a Hispanic Congressional Caucus as well that has the same point of view. What's in it for Hispanics? And if you really get down to some of the unpleasant aspects of multiracialism, look at prison race riots. You have prisons in California and Texas that are in a state of near constant lockdown, because if the prisoners are allowed to mix, it's mostly blacks and Hispanics at this case, it would be at each other's throats. Mm. The Supreme Court has said that you cannot segregate prisoners. It was a recent ruling that especially applied to California. And California has slowly and reluctantly been integrating its cells. But they had a tremendous riot earlier this year because the people in the different groups don't want to mix.
Mm-hmm. There's some other things that your group has, you know, American Renaissance has talked about, such as, the hypocrisy that only whites are, racist, you know, a charge of racism can destroy a career, but only for whites.
Yes, that's obviously true. You can have blacks talking in the most insulting way about whites. Some of the poetry of Amiri Baraka, who was at one time the poet laureate of New Jersey. For example, once he was asked by a white woman, what can white people do to improve race relations? He said, you can all just die off. That's the best thing you can do for race relations, is if all white people just die off. This guy later went on to become the poet laureate of New Jersey. The other obvious double standard is that blacks or whites or Hispanics or Asians or any other group is encouraged to think in terms of ethnic pride or racial pride. But if white people talk about any pride in their heritage, somehow suddenly they become labeled as haters and white supremacists. There's a terrible double standard in that respect.
Yeah, I noticed we don't have a White History Month.
No, we sure don't. You know, some of the irony of this was that you may remember that Eric Holder, just a few weeks after he became Attorney General, mm-hmm. he gave a talk in which he accused the United States of being a nation of cowards because we don't talk honestly about race. Well, American Renaissance is in the business of talking honestly about race, but there are people who certainly don't want to hear honest talk about race.
Yeah. Well, the reason people don't talk honestly about race is because they're afraid of being labeled as a racist or being hit with a hate crime or something like that. You know, that's why, as you say, white people in a lot of places must constantly police their speech to avoid offending non-whites.
That's right. That's right. And although, if you look at the way whites and blacks and Hispanics and everybody else behaves, it's clear that when they are free to select their associates, when they're on their free time, people generally tend to congregate with folks like themselves. Well, blacks or Hispanics are allowed to say that, to say, yes, when I'm relaxing, I want to be among my folks. If a white person said that, oh my gosh, that would be hatred and bigotry and all kinds of things. And more people recognize the fundamental unfairness and double standards about this, and I think that is why the left has gotten so outraged at what we do, because most of it is just so obviously true.
Mm. By the way, is there anything wrong with that? That black people want to associate with black people, or white people want to associate? Is there anything wrong with that?
No, I think you find that everywhere in the world. I think it's part of human nature. And that is one of the aspects of this multicultural enterprise that I think makes it bound to, if not fail completely, at least be very, very difficult. And that is that it, in effect, ignores human nature. People have parochial loyalties. That's all there is to it. And many people, if you look at blacks, the way they talk, other blacks are brothers. They think of their race as kind of their extended family, and they have a loyalty to their family that is natural. It's normal. All of us have loyalties to our families, but in the case of whites, anything that goes beyond just your immediate family, if you think of whites in general as some sort of group with which you have an identification or some kind of loyalty, well, then whites and only whites are then therefore considered haters and bigots. Mm.
There seems to be a growing number, and I've interviewed some of them recently, from Clarence Thomas to Jesse Lee Peterson, columnist Michael Massey, and many other black conservatives. And it seems like there are a lot more conservatives who happen to be black, and you even see them at the Tea Party movement and so forth. And yet they are labeled by people in their own race as being Uncle Tom's traitors.
Exactly, exactly. The whole enterprise of the United States, ever since the 1950s and the 60s, ever since the Civil Rights Movement, was that all Americans were supposed to dismantle any kind of racial loyalty, and we were all just to be individuals, and race was just going to go away. It was a very, very attractive idea, especially given America's very vexed and murky and sometimes murderous past when it comes to race. But it ignored human nature. I liken it to communism, really. Communism was based on the idea that selfishness could be abolished and that we were all going to live from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Well, that was very attractive, too. But look at the mess caused in China and Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. you had to sort of redo society in brutal ways to make people operate that way. It just doesn't come naturally. And I think the same is true of this multiracial enterprise. It ignores human nature and the fact that there are natural loyalties that people have a hard time overcoming.
Talking with Jared Taylor from American Renaissance, AMREN.com. I want to ask you this final question. We heard that that President Obama, he was supposed to be post-racial. Do you think race relations have gotten better in a year after President Obama has been in the Oval Office?
I think they're basically unchanged. I think that when he was inaugurated, people had these messianic expectations for him. If you go back and read the clippings of the things people are writing and saying then, it's just astonishing. Here was Gandhi. Here was Jesus. But I reminded people that I guess it was in the early 1990s, the state of Virginia had a black governor, and everyone made similar predictions, that race relations are just going to be perfect from now on. No, you can make changes like that at the top, but it doesn't affect human nature. It doesn't affect the willingness suddenly of, say, blacks and Hispanics to live happily together in prisons. The fact of having a black president doesn't change that kind of thing at all.
Mm-hmm. All right, AmericanRenaissance.com or just simply AMREN.com. And we've been talking to Jared Taylor. Is that basically the easiest way to get there, AMREN.com?
Amren, AMREN.com. Yes, it is.
All right, good deal. And Jared Taylor is the editor of American Renaissance, author of Paid with Good Intentions. Great to talk to you again, Jared. Appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right, take care.